This is the Aftermarket Radio Network.
Welcome to another episode of Speak Up Effective Communication, the show on the Aftermarket Radio Network, focusing our attention on our communication and leadership skills. And in our episode today, it's how we talk about money. Yes, if I think back on my earliest time, my career as a service advisor, my closing interactions with clients on occasion felt somewhat awkward. When we got to the part where we're taking payment, it was not awkward because the business component of the job is somehow wrong or weird. It isn't awkward because I felt sorry for them just due to the high cost of transmission work. I actually did feel sorry for pretty much everybody. It was very expensive even 15 years ago when I was starting out, 20 years ago, really. It was awkward because when you're having a great conversation, shifting into talk about money is sometimes really stupidly awkward, and that's okay. It's pretty normal for that to be the case, but sometimes we make it even more awkward by not communicating well about the way we can actually receive payments and services in our business, and that makes things a little more challenging. That is why in today's episode, we're talking about how we talk about money. The word of the day today is parsimonious, and I will explain that word, one of my favorites, really. I might have used it before. I don't know. I think we're good. We'll explain that word after we hear a word from our sponsors. Did you know the Institute helps shop owners scale to multiple locations? We're the solution for building productivity, profitability, and growth. Learn more at weartheinstitute.com/business-assessment. Autoflow is your partner in technology. With Autoflow, enhance your client interactions in a single thread before, during, and after the visit. To see how Autoflow makes it simple, visit autoflow.com. Your trusted companion, Shop Dog Marketing, is right by your side, attracting the best customers and building long-term growth. Call Shop Dog Marketing today or visit shopdogmarketing.com. Supercharge your auto shop with Inbound. AI-powered communication analytics and phone service for your professional shops. Visit callinbound.com. Are you tired of juggling multiple tools to manage your auto repair shop? Say goodbye to the chaos and hello to streamlined efficiency with AutoLeap, the number one all-in-one auto repair shop management software. With AutoLeap, you can sell more, save precious time, and delight your customers with every interaction. And thank you so much to our sponsors who make this show possible. And the word of the day is parsimonious. And it's not only an adjective, it's a euphemism for someone who is cheap. It means unwilling to spend money or use resources, stingy, frugal, cheap. Now, I think it's a good word for the topic today because some of you are really parsimonious, particularly when it comes to credit card processing fees. Okay. Processing fees are a thing. I feel like every business owner in the world agrees on this. Credit card fees suck. That's all right. But there are a few extreme reactions I see to this that are a little alarming, I think, because we shift that frustration into the responsibility in the realm of our customer. So I'll list three of the extremes that I see, and I think you'll see why I feel this topic is worth bringing to speak up as a communication topic. And we'll cover what I see as a helpful solution, a little bit of some tips on dealing with this as well. Though I am starting to think that I should have also called my friend Hunt Demarest from Business by the Numbers, but maybe next time. This is totally his turf here. We're talking about money now. Oh no. Right. He'll do a show. He did a show about calling people. I can do this. This is fine. All right. So for the first extreme, I've seen this a lot. A number of shops will argue it's just a cost of doing business, and they simply eat the cost of credit card fees and processing as they go through. Some will even try to build it into their pricing, just sort of keep it out of your mind. It's just part of doing business, and they've accepted that, and business is good enough. Perhaps their bottom line is healthy enough as well. It just isn't a thought, these credit card things, and that's probably good, and it's great for their clientele. But since processing fees can actually amount to tens of thousands of dollars of profits each year, those numbers should end the argument that it's just a cost of doing business, because you can really make an impact on your bottom line by addressing that. Plus, if you are in a market that's a little more parsimonious, you may find competition makes it a little bit more challenging to build in this cost of business into your pricing. So I think anyways, my point on that extreme, I think it's a cost you can do something about. And I think that some of the communication strategies that I'll talk about at the end of this episode here will help you understand why. Another extreme is that we see businesses will say that we don't take creditors. Like, no, we don't do credit cards. And boy, we had to be that way with checks in the past, but there's some pretty valid reasons that the world understood, I feel like, with checks. But hey, not taking credit cards, it's an option. This effectively eliminates fees. Sure. But a tremendous cost of convenience to your customers is now introduced. And you can be fairly sure this doesn't feel like a smart option to shops on very slow days. If people cannot choose you because their preferred method of payment isn't offered, you're going to notice that more when business isn't necessarily booming. So again, demographically, you could run into a lot of issues there. But the no credit cards, one overcorrection, I feel like, on that. It's kind of a part of the world today. And we'll talk about some stats here in a minute, too. There's another extreme, and this one is picking up steam. Surcharging. We take cards, but we charge you X percent to cover the fees that we'll incur. So if you want to not have that 3% charge on top of this bill, then pay a different way, Mr. Client. All right. So like I said, I've seen this trend increasing, and I reached out to my friend, Dr. Mark Hale. I did webinars with him in the past. He founded FacePay. Some of you may remember that. And I actually, when talking with him, I realized FacePay has become Express by FacePay. But Dr. Hale shared some insights with me on this. And he says that what customers dislike more is that many shops don't give a viable option to avoid the surcharges. When they're doing the surcharges, they're not giving an option to avoid them, not a viable option more specifically. He stated that no one carries enough cash for repair and you stopped taking checks ages ago. Very true. When I had this exchange with Mark, I could not help but think, cash for repair, that's one thing. I don't carry enough cash for breakfast. And that was a true story on this, by the way. A few years ago when I was taking flight lessons, I was up early doing some prepping materials for this cross-country flight I was going to do with my flight instructor, Austin, who's been on the podcast as well. Long flight ahead, windy day in a tiny little Cessna 152. And those who know that Cessna is another 152 is basically a little tin can kite with doors that pop open. So bumpy ride ahead. I knew it was a longer flight too. I needed a good breakfast. And there's a little breakfast restaurant in my neighborhood. I'm up a lot earlier than I normally was to be prepared. And so I went there to get breakfast, and it's a really good place, but I had not been to this place in 10 years easily. Got some French toast, got the hash browns, got the sausage. It was good. I even thought to myself, like, shoot, man, why don't I come to this place more often? It was a nice atmosphere. Saw a couple of my neighbors in there. Then I remembered, oh crap, they only take cash. It says in cursive on the door, which I can read, by the way, but completely failed to notice when I was walking in the morning. No big deal. I figured, okay, no problem. I had my ATM card in my wallet. This was the restaurant solution, by the way, for those of us who don't carry cash. It's nice that they thought of this. Just one more problem. My ATM card, which I hadn't used in years, completely expired. Did not work. Tried everything I could on that. Nothing. I had no way to pay. I was cooked. So I had to go to the counter and tell them I couldn't pay. This is not an experience I hope anyone has ever had to have. A very new sensation for me and very awkward. You want to talk about money and payment being awkward? There's nothing more awkward than having someone stand in front of you and say, like, well, I can't pay you because you don't offer the options of which I can pay with. But I did. I told them I'll have to come back with some cash later. And I even offered them some collateral. The attendant at the cashier there, she looked at me a little bit bothered and quite skeptical, I would have to say. But she did indicate it's fine if I come back later and pay. I mean, there really wasn't another choice at that point, unless they had me cleaning dishes. That would have been a trip. No, I really had a sense, though, that they probably thought they were never going to see the money again. I'm sure it's happened. Either way, I called and texted my wife, let her know the a quandary. I had to get to the airport for my flight lesson at this point. So going home and digging up some cash. My wife's the one with cash. She does art sales and that sort of thing. I never have it on me, but she's got my back. But she did, and she took care of it, but it was several hours later. So what's funny for me about this story is, ironically, I'm on this little cross-country flight lesson with my flight instructor. The destination was an airport over in Owosso, Michigan. I'm holding up my map on the camera here. It's from Grand Rapids to Owosso. It's straight across the Palm area, kind of. Yeah, they have a great little breakfast joint. It's kind of well known for the private pilots and students that go there. It's 80 nautical miles from my home, more or less, but more convenient for me to pay for breakfast. I went there. We got a second breakfast with my flight instructor. They take credit cards. I was able to pay for that breakfast. No problem. It was just in my mind, this picture of the irony of convenience that I could hop in a tiny little plane, learning how to navigate and all these bumpy active pilot controls you got to do on a windy day in a little plane. It was a really cool experience, but it just plays well with this story. And fun fact, I've been back to that breakfast place. It's called Jolie's Crosswind Cafe, but I've not been back to the breakfast place in my own neighborhood just down the street from my house because I never have cash. The point of this story? Convenience matters, specifically with the payment methods. It's also more common now than ever, and increasingly the case, that people are not carrying alternate methods of payment with them. Just to give you a quick rundown of statistics on this, I thought this was interesting. As I was planning this discussion, I looked this up, and credit cards account for roughly 35% of all payments now. Interesting to know. And this is across the United States. Cash is used in approximately 14% of all payments. Very low. Okay, what about debit cards? Those are popular. According to the Federal Reserve, about 30% of payments are made using debit cards. The other methods, including ACH, transfers, checks, and some other methods, likely with apps, are making up the other 21%. So debit cards combined with those other methods, 30 plus 21%, a little over half of the potential card transactions that occur or payment transactions that occur do include some sort of debit banking card type of thing or ACH transfer checks or other things. That's interesting because I thought it'd be higher on credit cards. And gosh, we see all these other pay and partial installment options on just about everything now. I think even Uber Eats allows you to pay for things in small payments instead of the whole meal. It's like, yeah, that's really frustrating knowing the kind of debt load that our public is facing. Stop stressing over your business. You deserve a good night's sleep. The Institute's coaching helps you achieve success and financial peace. Learn more at weareintheinstitute.com/business-assessment. Hey friends, as you know, I'm a proud member of the AutoFlow team, and let me tell you, we've changed how business is done for auto shops everywhere. We support your client experience before, during, and after the work is done. Imagine this: timely updates sent directly to your clients, branded digital vehicle inspections, and seamless communication from start to finish. That's why shops love AutoFlow. And hey, with those 5-star reviews rolling in, you'll wonder how you ever managed without us. Take an important next step and take your auto shop to the next level. Visit www.autoflow.com. Get on board with an AutoFlow trial. Want to see your auto repair shop thrive? Are you looking to drive more customers to your auto repair shop? Let ShopDog Marketing be your guide. Our customer-first approach, combined with AI-driven creative content, ensures top rankings. Dominate mobile first and voice search with our specialized expertise. Reach out to ShopDog Marketing today and start growing your business. Don't miss out on this chance to boost your business. Visit shopdogmarketing.com. Inbound has exclusively served independent auto repair shops with expert communication solutions for years. Our robust VOIP platform ensures you stay connected, while our industry-leading AI analytics take your business to the next level. We provide the tools you need to understand your customers and optimize every interaction. Choose Inbound for proven expertise and unmatched innovation. Visit callinbound.com and discover the difference we can make. So why does this matter? Well, I think this is important, and this is where I wanted to bring this topic together. The solution for any business then is really just to change how we are communicating regarding the options for how transactions are going to occur with us. And I don't think that a good form of communication is making it the customer's problem and confronting with them, especially at that moment of the transaction. This should be handled at a different time. So this means talking about those payment options that you do have and the benefits of them. You can guide them to options that are more mutually beneficial for you and them by discussing those things. And when I've done this, I've worked personally with Dr. Hale on with multiple clients. We've shared clients in the past between FacePay, Express by FacePay, and AutoFlow. And just a simple text message and a status explaining the option or providing the link to go and attach your banking app. If anyone who's used Zelle or some of these other things, it's very simple. It's just a simple click-through thing. But a simple strategy is just having that text message go out long before you even get to that servicing part of the visit, even before that sales conversation. You can start to establish some expectations about how business goes. I can assure you that at my breakfast restaurant experience, if I had had some other tip from someone like the server, so by the way, we are cash free, like saying that would be great because it would have probably changed whether I even ordered anything at all. And that's probably the case for some clients, certainly for repairs. And these are not planned things. Just like my breakfast wasn't planned. But Mark can tell you, Dr. Hale, he can tell you that just by providing some additional options for even those other types of ACH transfers, a lot of people go for that. And you can cut credit card bills in half so that surcharging doesn't even become necessary. And this is important. I think in all of this, no matter how bad fees are, when it comes to money and talking about money, we must always be communicating from a position aimed at providing good service, not presenting new barriers, and certainly not relying on passive signage on a door. And doubly so with cursive, the young generation, I hear they can't read it, even if they do notice it. But hey, you've got to put your customer hat on in this case. Pay attention to how much happier you are when a business makes things easy for you. We talk a lot about customer success, and I've done the episode recently where we were talking about the JD Power, what they were saying about customer satisfaction. And I remember it was actually, man, it's probably been about 2 or 3 years ago. I was doing a conversation with Dr. Hale, and he brings up an important point that it is actually a convenience will dictate whether a customer returns to do business with you even more than just other things like delighters and satisfaction elements. So I always break that back down and think convenience is delightful. So we do need to look at both things. I think we're at a point right now too. Convenience, there's another thing. There's a fourth extreme, and I'll mention it here because I run into this a lot. And it's a little bit more in a different direction. It's a little bit of a caveat for you service advisors out there as well. Text to pay. I think it's an interesting conversation. It's a service that I also support and provide in my professional day-to-day, and I get tons of questions on it. People think it's a very secure form of payment. And when they hear the word secure, they don't realize that what was being communicated by payment vendors that do that sort of thing, secure means that the data being transferred is not getting stolen. Shop owners hear secure, and the word that they hear is payment secure. And great, except for you have to realize like text-to-pay transactions, those are card not present transactions, CNP transactions, just like any other online purchase. There's no online merchant out there that can actually prove that the individual who did the ordering is the individual who provided that information with the credit card. And I see this mistake happen in a lot of shops too, where it wasn't discussed on who's going to be paying the bill earlier in the visit. And you have an invoice made out to the person who's been making a lot of decisions, but they aren't the person who's going to be paying. And you get a credit card at the counter for a person who's not been named even at any point in this visit, unknown to you even. And the invoice stays finalized in the person who's driving the car, but the transaction is done by the person who's paying. Whose signature is on the invoice? Does it match the person with the payment? No, you could lose everything on that job. And that's important to understand that invoices need to be a reflection of a transaction with the person who's paying for the things on that invoice. You can do a lot of different things in different shop management systems these days, but that's a major record piece that needs to be done. And folks, you don't get easy time with people while they're there and the pressure of taking payment or closing for the end of the day or all the things going on, unless you're really building into some conversations and making sure that you understand how this is all going to play out long before they show up with whatever form of payment is in hand. So hopefully that's helpful tips for you on this topic. And hopefully this will give you some cause to think, maybe hold back. I hope you can hold back a little bit on that surcharging concept. I always find it a little bit disturbing to see. I always feel like I'm losing as a customer if I'm paying a surcharge. We've all seen these now, and we've all probably done this as a customer. It doesn't feel good. And we don't want to have something like car repair feel any worse than it already does for the people coming into our doors. So hey, if you have something to add to this or some thoughts or opinions or any other solutions that you can think of that are worth sharing to our audience, this is a topic that I am seeing more and more with very strong opinions on all sides of it. So if you have something to say, reach out to me, please, at speakup@craigoneill.net. That's O-N-E-I-L-L.net. We appreciate hearing from you on anything that helps or suggestions on topics you'd like to hear us discuss on the show. That will help you and your communication journey. And remember to listen up to the other shows on the Aftermarket Radio Network. Remarkable Results Radio with Carm Capriato, Diagnosing the Aftermarket A through Z with Matt Fonslow, Business by the Numbers with Hunt Demarest. Love you, Hunt. Sorry for stepping on your turf here. The Auto Repair Marketing Podcast with Brian and Kim Walker, who, by the way, I am very much looking forward to seeing at the Mars Intensive put on by the Institute. Brian and Kim will be doing some speaking there, as will I. That should be a lot of fun. And our sponsor of the show as well, Dan from Shop Dog Marketing, he will be there speaking on some topics as well. So hopefully you can tune into that. That'll be in September, early September, September 4 through 6, if I am remembering my dates offhand without my notes. Pretty impressive. And also check out the Weekly Blitz with the coach Chris Cotton. Once again, I thank you so much to our sponsors for making this show possible. Thank you, our listeners, for joining us. Now get out there, listen up, speak up, and keep things convenient. Thanks.
You've been listening to Speak Up, Effective Communication with Craig O'Neill on the Aftermarket Radio Network. Follow Craig on your favorite podcast listening app and on his YouTube channel. Let him know what you'd like him to speak up about. Craig is all for advancing the automotive service aftermarket.